It is good to see all of you this morning, and welcome to your father's house, even though it is online. But God has given us this wonderful opportunity to be able to meet this morning, even though we are experiencing inclement weather conditions on the outside. We're still able to meet and to worship God. The word of God says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and that his mercies are new every single morning. And as the writer celebrated this, he said, "Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord." And this morning, that's exactly what we want to say. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto us. All of us who are on this morning, we know what it is to be grateful to God. Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning. We glorify you. We honor you. We magnify you. We lift up your name this morning. We thank you that you're not a God that is created by human hands, and you're not a God who is in need of anything that we can give. You are God all by yourself, and that nothing and no one can curtail your plan and your purpose, because you are sovereign, you're in control. And we bless you this morning that even this inclement weather condition that we're experiencing this weekend, that you knew ahead of time that we would be experiencing this time, and that we would not have the opportunity to meet together in one place. But thank you that even though we're not meeting together in one place, but Lord, we're able to meet together in one medium. We're able to meet together, Father God, and we're able to worship together. We bless you for this wonderful privilege. Thank you for the West Toronto Church of God. Thank you for the many families that make up this church, O God, and have been worshiping you over the years. Thank you, God, for the ministries of our church and for the media, one that is your Holy Spirit would sanction, and that your presence would be with us. Have your way now, Father, and bless our time of worship and our time of study together. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. This morning, brothers and sisters, we're trying to keep it very simple because of the medium that we're using. But I have beside me my hymn book that I use in my devotions. And one of the songs that I treasure so much is the song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord." The verse that really ministers to me more than any of the others is the verse that says, "I'm so glad I've learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, and you will be with me till the end." What a wonderful consolation we have. What a wonderful thing to know that we can trust in Jesus. And I want us to turn this morning for our time of reflection to the book of James. And I would love for us to go to James chapter 1. I already have on screen James chapter 1. If you're able to see, then praise God. We have the PowerPoint on screen for you. "If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." That man who is wavering, who is doubting, should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. This is the word of the Lord, brothers and sisters, and we say thanks to God for his word. When I read this same text from the Message Bible, it is absolutely interesting to hear what the Message Bible has to say. Listen to what it says. If you do not know what you're doing, you should ask the Father, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers, people who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. That's what the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson, this wonderful Presbyterian pastor who has done the Message translation or paraphrase for us, helps us to understand. When asked what we intend to do about situations in our lives, we often say, I am just praying about it. I am just leaving it to God, you know. And when we say that, sometimes it is done in a very sarcastic way or uncertain way. We say it as if we are not sure that God is going to hear and that God is going to respond. We're not sure that our prayer is going to get to the throne of God. We're not sure that our prayer is going to get to heaven. When we share our prayer requests with people, we share needs, we share lack, we share desires, we share, you know, share situations that are going on in our lives. We ask for advice. We seek for counsel and advice. We talk about marital issues that we're having. We talk about money issues and spiritual issues and social and societal issues. We talk about things in our community and in our church. And sometimes the responses can be very cliche or sarcastic, you know. There are some people who are even, you know, superstitious in their responses too. We say to one another, I'll pray about it. We say to some people, oh boy, that's a serious situation. We have to pray about it. Only prayer can help. Sometimes we say, pray about it. Sometimes we, you know, in a more spiritual way, we say, tell it to Jesus, you know, or we sing the song for people. Let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, let the Lord have his way and he will fix it for you. But deep in our hearts, brethren, do we really believe that Jesus will fix it? Difficult circumstances. This sermon came out of my 40 days of fasting, as I fasted and prayed to God and sought God about so many things for the church and for my own family, for our personal lives and stuff like that. And there was a particular issue that we were praying about, and I'll share more about that some other time. But you know that we've been, you know, praying about, you know, relocating and stuff like that. And as I prayed, I had so many options, like Eugene Peterson says in the Message. I had left so many options open. I was confused, and I was confusing those who were praying with me, and I was confusing my realtor. I was just simply confused about it. I was not specific. I was not deliberate. I was not on target. I did not share my desire with God as to what it is that I want. I should have shared my desire and allow God to modify it and to say, Wayne, you have asked me for this, but this is what I'm going to give you. Like Solomon, who asked God for wisdom, and God said to him, you've asked for wisdom, you've not asked for riches, but I am going to give you, as an added bonus, I'm going to give you riches on top of the wisdom that I'm going to give to you. I was not specific with God. I was just asking God, and you know, well, maybe this God or maybe that. You know, God, this could work or that could work. I was not specific and say, God, this is what I want. But nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. I did not say that to God. I was just praying and telling God all kinds of things. So today I would say, God, maybe it could be this. Tomorrow I said, God, well, maybe it could be that. God, I don't know what I want, you know, whatever you want, God. God does not want what I want. I needed to pray, God, cause your will to become my desire. So James specifically talks about wisdom. He said, if somebody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it to him. But even though James speaks specifically of wisdom, we need to understand that it teaches a principle. God teaches us a principle in James chapter 1 and the verse 5 and following about telling it to Jesus, about asking God for things when we need it. Let us try to unpack this text a little bit and see if we can understand it. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If you notice, I've been emphasizing some words and phrases in this passage. Let's unpack them and see. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let's cut it short. If any of you, brothers and sisters listening and watching this morning, I'm preaching to my own self this morning. And despite the fact that I'm not standing in front of you, you're able to see me or you're able to hear me. The word of God says through James, if anyone, any of you, what it means is all without exception, all without distinction, all without qualification. It doesn't matter who among us. There are times when we think that there are some people who can ask God for things more than we can, and they are more qualified to get it from God. They are more qualified to receive from God. But we are not at the spiritual place. We are not at the place with God where we can ask God for anything. Can I say to you this morning, mash down that lie in the name of Jesus. Trample on it in the name of Jesus. Every single one of you, you, everyone who is watching this morning and those who are not in this service this morning, every one of us can go to God and present the most delicate thing to him. We can present not just delicate things, we can present private things, we can present things that we don't want our spouse to hear about. We can come to God and we can present things to him. The word of God says any. I hope you put your name inside there this morning. Just take out any of you and put your name, Wayne, John, Anna, Rosemarie, Delroy, Veronica. These are some of the people I'm seeing watching right now and who are in this service right now. Michelle and family, and Robert and family, and several others of you. Hear me this morning. If you take out the word any and put your name, your family name, your children, whoever you want to put inside there, put their names inside there, because guess what? God says in his word through James, if any, This morning, I am one of the any. This morning, you are one of the any. Anybody who wants to seek God for anything, if you have a need in your life this morning, I want faith to arise in your spirit and for you to realize that this is an anybody, any person, any one time. This is an anybody moment. The word of God says, if any of you, I pray God that each person this morning will realize that that speaks about me. That is me. I am there, Wayne. If Wayne lacks anything, if I lack, I can come to God. The next thing I want to unpack is that James says that we should ask. So if any has a lack, has a need, and I, Wayne Vernon, have a need, so I just put my name in there. If anyone has a need, has a lack, James says this is what we should do. We should ask God. We should ask God. And the word ask that he uses there, the tense that he uses, let me see if I find it for you. The tense that James uses there, James uses the tense that James uses a word. He said the literal reading of the text is ask, keep on asking. The tense tells us that it is keep on asking. This is consistent with what Jesus taught. Jesus taught us that we should be persistent in our prayers, importunate in our prayers. We should pray without ceasing, says the word of God. Jesus teaches us that we should ask, we should seek, we should knock, and we should keep on doing that. He talked about the widow who kept going to the judge and asking the judge for help. And the judge would not help. But she continued going to the judge. So Annette, she keep going to the judge. Nadine, she kept going to the judge. I see you, you're online. Veronica, she kept going to the judge over and over and over until the judge decided that, listen, this woman is going to weary me out. She's going to wear me down to a thread. She's going to harass me. And so, guess what? He said, I am going to have to do something for this woman because this woman keeps coming to me and she's not going to stop coming to me. I do not do something about it. This woman is going to wear me down to a thread. So let me make sure that I deal with this woman's situation. And so Jesus dealt with it and taught us the principle of persistence in prayer. I know, brothers and sisters, I know that I have in my life and in my own experience felt like I needed to stop praying to God. Felt like I was asking him too much. Felt like God was tired of me. And even some of our brothers and sisters in church, when people are praying about stuff, we tend to tell them that, you know, it's time to stop seeking God, time to stop praying about that right now. But Jesus taught us persistence. Keep on praying. It's not about him at the moment. It's about us. He wants us to continue to ask. God needs to know we are serious about this thing. We are focused on this thing. And we're going to get it in the name of the Lord. So James tells us, it is the Holy Spirit that spoke through James and tells us that if we lack and if we need something in our lives, and we're going to come out of this service this morning, we're going to identify identify some things, big things, little things, delicate things, private things, things that we don't want to talk with people about. We have illnesses in our bodies that we have not told anyone, private concerns that we have. We're going to bring them to Jesus Christ this morning. We're not going to be afraid to ask him this morning, and we're going to keep on asking and see what God does for us. Some of the strategies of the enemy, brothers and sisters, is that, you know, the New Age movement, when we listen to Oprah and other programs, we hear that, you know, just reach inside of yourself and connect with the your inner self and the inner light that is in you. But that's not what God tells us to do. The Word of God says we must tell it to Jesus. We must ask Jesus. You and I do not have the capacity inside of us to break the chains of the enemy. You and I do not have the capacity within us. If we could, we would not need God at all. But we bring it to God. Another strategy that the devil uses is ignorance. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and he modeled prayer before his disciples. You know, in the church today, there are many people who would say to us, "Pastor, we can't be teaching people to pray." But Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and his disciples asked him to teach them to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Brothers and sisters, there's an art to prayer. The enemy is organized, and if you and I are just saying pitter patter, if you and I are just repeating vain words, we're not going to see the results in our prayers. But Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and you and I need to read the scripture and realize that we can pray with purpose. We can pray with intentionality. It's not the length of our prayers, but it is the impact of our prayers. You and I can certainly pray and get results. Some people are not just ignorant, they don't know how to pray. I'm talking about people developing a robust prayer life. We want to, Courtney, develop a robust prayer life in the name of Jesus with our busy schedule. Yes, we want to develop a robust prayer life. And all of you who are on this morning, and I'm able to see all of you, I'm able to see you, Courtney, and I know that you're on and that you are watching and that you are in this service this morning. And I'm saying to you, Courtney, that if there is a need in your life, if there is a situation, you can bring it to Jesus. You can learn how to pray and pray effectively. And I love what the prayer ministry at West Toronto Church is doing. Since our 50th anniversary, and since we started streaming online, I was told in our leadership meeting yesterday that we're getting prayer requests from all over the world. We're getting prayer requests out of the U.S. for people who we do not know, but the prayer ministry is getting prayer requests. Do you realize, brethren, that since our 50th, this church is moving into another dimension, another level? How many of our churches in Toronto this morning who are not able to meet at their sanctuary? How many of them are able to meet online like this? But our media department has ensured that we can still meet. And I'm in Oshawa, and it's crazy outside on the road. I went out to check on the road, and I was just sliding all over the place. But this media team has made sure that we are in worship right now. And we want to reach out to the world. Our prayer ministry is now gone to the world. And what are we going to do? We're going to have to realize that God has opened up some new doors and some new avenues for us. We don't want to be ignorant in our prayers. We want to know how to pray so that when we pray, the powers of hell can know that there's a group of people who know how to pray and know the demonic strategies and know where they are located in the heavenly realms, and to storm them and bring them down. Some of us pray with indifference. Some of us pray irrelevant prayers. Some of us pray ineffective prayers. And I am one of them. I am one of them who want to be more effective in my prayer life, who want to be more relevant, who want to be more focused and more intentional in my own prayer life. The word of God as delivered to us by James, brothers and sisters, it teaches us that we can pray effectively, and we're going to pray effectively as of this morning. The word of God comes to us out of my personal experience of indecision and vacillation and wondering and uncertainty. But God doesn't want us to waver. He doesn't want us to be uncertain. He doesn't want us to vacillate. We can call on God, and that is what we want to do. We want to call on God. You know, James brings out a few things that I want to close with in the next 10 minutes, because our time together closes in about 10 minutes. James brings out for us the character of God. According to James, brethren, God is a generous God. God gives generously. And he brings out not only the generosity of God. Let me see if I can find James' conversation to us. James does not only bring out the generosity of God. Let's look at that. The character of God. The generosity of God, his generality, and his grace. Just trying to help you to be able to remember that. The generosity of God. James says that he gives, God gives, God gives. And if there's one theme that reverberates through scripture, is the generosity of God. God is a giving God. God does not hold back on his giving. You know, James says that God gives. In John 3, verse 16, it tells us that God is a giving God. He gives to his people. He gave his only begotten son out of his love. He is a giving God. It tells us that God is a God of universality and generality. God does not just give to one set of people, one nation, one tribe, one color, one race, one gender. Men are able to get more out of God than women. The rich can get more out of God than the poor. No, 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 no. He gives to everybody. He's a generous God, but he's a God of generality. He gives to people. He gives. And then here is a sweet part of it. Amen. Brothers and sisters, he does it without finding fault. When my kids come to me and they ask me for stuff, sometimes I say, let me think about it. Sometimes I feel that it is what they're asking is too big. You know, it is too big. I am not able to give to them that which they're asking for. But glory be to God. There's a grace that God gives to us. He does not find fault. So when somebody comes to God and say, God, I need a house. I need a car. I need my PR documents. I need a work permit. I need a husband. I need a wife. I need children. I need money. God is not looking on and laughing and saying and finding fault and saying that you're asking for too much. Yes, sometimes when we ask, he says yes. He says, he either says yes, he says no, or he says wait. Or God modifies what we ask for. So, you know, he says that we are fathers, human fathers, and we know how to give our children appropriate things. If our kids come to us for fish, we will not give them a serpent. If they come to us for bread, we will not give them stone. And the writer was very clear on that. When you read the text in the Greek, there's a play on words. If your kid asks you for lehem, which is bread, you will not give him even, which is stone. He plays on the word. He just plays on the word so that we can get the impact of it. And if he comes for fish, we will not give him a snake. or a serpent. God wants to give to us, and he will not, he's not going to discriminate. He's not going to find fault. He's not going to laugh. He's not going to say, you do not deserve that. You can't get that. He will correct us, and he will guide us. And that's why we pray and ask God, God, will you please let your will become my desire? But there is something else that James brings out. And I have about two more points that I have to get through in the next few minutes. Not only the character of God, but the certainty of God's response. He says, it will be given to him. There is a certainty to the response of God. When we pray, brothers and sisters, and I'm getting real excited now. When we pray, there's a certainty to God's response to us. There is this certainty. Praise God that there is a certainty. James says, it will be given to us. So Anna prayed and believed God, and it was given to her. You know in your own lives that there are times when you have prayed to God and God has given things to you. The certainty of God's response. You can rely on the character of God. He's a generous God. He gives to everybody and he does not discriminate. You can rely on the certainty of God this morning. His response is sure. But I want to say to you, and I'm hurrying on this morning, that we have to pay attention to something. Because where we come in now is the criteria, the condition. There is a condition, there is a criterion, and you and I need to recognize that there is a criterion. James says, when we ask, we must not doubt, we must not waver, because the man who wavers is like the surf of the sea, the wave of the sea that is tossed and blown about. He says, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. So let's talk about the condition. The condition is that we need to ask in faith and not wavering. Can I just say something quickly to us, brethren? Like I said, I'm preaching to my own self this morning. James helps us to understand, and Paul in Romans chapter 4 helps us to understand. Abraham was 99 years old. He knew that physically his body could not produce children. His wife was barren when she was much younger, and until now she never had kids. And she was well into her 90s. Now, here is what Paul says, in the Holy Spirit says through Paul in Romans chapter 4, that Abraham did not live in denial. He knew his situation. He knew that he was not physically capable to do this. But guess what? Here is where Abraham, we applaud Abraham. He knew that God was faithful. He knew that he who made the promise to him was faithful. Abraham did not waver. Abraham pressed forward. Abraham believed God. Abraham talked faith. Brothers and sisters, you and I are going to have to get accustomed to faith talk and faith walk. And when we're praying about something and believing God about something, not to doubt him. Doubting God is an affront to God. As I bring this service to a close this morning, I want you to understand that doubting God is an affront to God. That is why the children of Israel did not get into the promised land, those who came out of Egypt. God said, you doubted me. After all the miraculous signs that I worked among you, you still did not believe me. And that is why I released wild animals upon you. That is why you did not get into the promised land. When we doubt God, it is an insult to him, and God is offended when we doubt. May Pastor Vernon not doubt God this morning. Nadine, I pray that you will not doubt God this morning. Annette, you cannot afford to doubt God. Courtney, you can't afford to doubt God this morning. We cannot afford to doubt our great God.
and master. Because guess what? If we doubt him, if we ever doubt our God, it is an insult to him, and he doesn't want that to happen. The text says we should not doubt. The wave of the sea is acted upon by the wind. The wind decides what happens to it. We don't want to be like wind tossed waves and wind blown waves. When we lock on to something, I want some of you this morning, all of you who are listening to me this morning, to lock on to something in your life that you're struggling with. Lock on to something that you want to ask God for. This broadcast will end in just a minute or so, but I want us to lock on to God this morning and to say, God, I refuse to doubt you, because for me to receive from you, the condition is faith. I must believe you. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Do not doubt God this morning, because James says, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. When you and I doubt, brothers and sisters, it blocks our prayer life. When you and I doubt, it blocks us from receiving from the Lord. And this morning, I'm going to pray for all of us this morning who have needs in our lives, because our session is about to end. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift all of us up before you right now. Every person who is watching, every person who is listening this morning has a need in their lives, God. The needs are as many as the people who are watching, and even more, because there are families who are on right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that when we ask, we will ask in faith. We will not doubt. We will not waver. We will not second guess you, Father. We will, even when we are being pressured to doubt you in the face of our circumstances, like Abraham, help us to hold on to you and to say, you who have called us and you who have made promises to us, you are faithful. You have made some promises to us, God, and we refuse to doubt you this morning. You are the God who caused things to come into existence that was not in existence. You created this world ex nihilo, out of nothing, Father. There was no raw material for you to work with. And you said in your word that in a similar way, you can create things in our lives that did not exist before. This morning, we bless you, Father, that we could meet like this. Help us to call our family and friends and to share this broadcast with them and to share this word with them and to believe you and to be able to pray more effectively. Thank you for the time together now, Father. And thank you for moving in our lives by the power of your Spirit. And as we close, God, help some people to go down in prayer, believing you for miracles in their lives. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give you honor, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless all of you. It was great having you on this morning. And we love you all. For those persons who have been asking about giving, you can do your online giving. I went on earlier on and gave my tithe online. So you can just go to www.westtoronto.org and you can click on the donate button and it will walk you through and you will be able to give. Thanks to all of you who were on this morning, and thanks to the media team of the West Toronto Church of God for making this possible. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And for those of you who want to spend some more time in prayer right now, you can feel free to spend some time in prayer as we bring this service to a close. God bless you and have a wonderful day. Tweet and text your brothers and sisters and share this word with them so that they too can be blessed. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord and stay safe. Stay off the roads and stay safe with your family. God bless you.